Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
After shocking his disciples with the prophecy concerning the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, they asked the Lord then for signs that would signal the end of the age and his coming. He responded by telling them to watch for a very specific event, the abomination of desolation spoken of through Daniel. Just what is this key event that will signal the end of the age and the coming of Christ? We'll find out on today's Life Study of Matthew broadcast, and Ed Marks has joined us for what I really hope will be more than just an intriguing topic, Brother Ed. We really need to be touched by the Lord in this one, don't we?
Yes, Chris, we do, and I think we all feel as believers that the Lord's coming is very close. So this word of the Lord in Matthew 24 is very critical for where we are in the history of the church right now.
Well, as you just said, Ed, this week we're covering Matthew 24. It's one of the great chapters in Scripture, especially in the realm of prophecy concerning the end times and the Lord's coming. And some of these prophecies and parables, quite honestly, are difficult and hard to follow. Yesterday, Ed, we saw that it's very helpful to know just who is being referred to in each of the sections. Today, we're going to cover verses 15 through 31. To whom are these verses referring to?
Well, Chris, like you said, it's very important that we know who these verses are addressed to. And in chapter 24, the first 31 verses are addressed to the Jews of Israel. Now, from verses 1 through 14, again, this discourse to the Jews specifically of Israel, we see what will transpire mainly to them from the ascension to the end of this age. Now, in this broadcast, we come to verses 15 through 31 of chapter 24. Again, this is addressed to Israel. And what this particularly talks about is the end of this age, the last 3.5 years of this age, which the Bible refers to as the Great Tribulation. I think this will be very meaningful for us today as we listen to the broadcast.
Well, I think it'd be good to read a few of these verses. Now, we referred to this in our opening today, but it's a term, a phrase that we're going to get into with more examination as we go on. Verse 15, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. Then let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take the things out of his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to take his garment. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter nor on a Sabbath." Ed, as you pointed out, these verses specifically are referring to the Jews who will be in Israel when this is taking place. But this matter of the abomination of desolation is a sign that really is going to be visible to all of us, isn't it?
Exactly. And this sign actually points to the beginning of the end of the age. It is the beginning of what is known as the Great Tribulation.
Let's join Witness Lee.
The end of the age begins with verse 15. Verse 15 says, "When therefore you see the abomination of desolation spoken of through Daniel the prophet." Abomination here means the idol. And here the idol no doubt refers to Antichrist image. And that image will be able to speak, according to Revelation 13. When the great tribulation comes, the idol, the image of Antichrist, will be able to speak. And that idol will be the abomination. And this abomination will bring in the desolation in two ways. Number one, when he, the Antichrist, will set up his image, forcing people to worship him, he will destroy all religions. Then the second way, this abomination, this idol, will provoke the Lord's anger. God will come in to destroy Antichrist. And this abomination, this idol, will stand in the temple, in the holy place. This means Antichrist will set up his image to be in the Holy of Holies. This is clearly revealed in Daniel.
Well, Ed, the ushering in of the end of the age, this period called the Great Tribulation, is really initiated by the appearance of this thing, the abomination of desolation, referred to in Daniel. Daniel prophesied concerning this as well. Then this event was foreshadowed by some other things that have taken place historically. Briefly, Ed, tell us, what do we know about the abomination of desolation?
Well, Chris, like you said, this term is first mentioned in Daniel 9, verse 27, and it's clearly related to the Antichrist. And we know that this abomination of desolation is an idol. Deuteronomy 29:17. Some translations use the word abominations. Others use detestable images, which are idols. So in God's sight, an idol is an abomination. And this abomination is an abomination of desolation. As Brother Lee pointed out, the Antichrist, he will be a destroyer of all religious things. And Chris, what he does, and for our listeners, if you look at Revelation 13, verses 14 through 15, Antichrist has an image of himself, and he sets this image, this idol, up in the temple, and everybody on earth will be forced to worship that image. This will be a terrible time. And Chris, this implies that the temple has to be rebuilt for Antichrist to set up his image in the temple. Right now, the children of Israel don't have a temple. But when you and I were there, we saw that there are some very zealous Israelites there who are ready on a moment's notice to rebuild the temple. To me, this shows the Lord's coming is very near. But anyway, coming back to this, Chris, you know, in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, this verse tells us that Antichrist opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or an object of worship, so that he sits in the temple of God, setting himself forth, saying that he is God. This will be a terrible time. This man in 2 Thessalonians 2 is called the man of lawlessness. He is the embodiment of Satan. And Chris, what I like about 2 Thessalonians 2 is in verse 7, it talks about the mystery of lawlessness. This mystery is already operating within man. You know, the same lawlessness that characterized the Antichrist is operating among the nations and in fallen human beings. But Chris, I was just so encouraged. You know, you have this phrase, the mystery of lawlessness. But in 1 Timothy 3, we have the phrase, the mystery of godliness. While the mystery of lawlessness is going on right now in this program, as we're fellowshipping with our listeners, the mystery of godliness is going on. This mystery is the mystery of God being manifested in the flesh, first in the person of Christ, and then corporately in us, the body of Christ. This shows that while all these evil things are going on in mankind, leading to the Antichrist, today we need to open ourselves up to enjoy Christ, experience Christ, and be filled with Christ so that we can be the corporate manifestation of God in the flesh. This is versus the mystery of lawlessness. Eventually, when the Lord comes back, he will come back with all his overcomers to defeat Antichrist and his armies. This means the mystery of godliness will meet the mystery of lawlessness and defeat the mystery of lawlessness. This is wonderful. This shows in this age, we need to give ourselves to enjoy Christ, experience Christ, and be filled with Christ so that we can express Christ.
And Ed, the person of godliness will confront the person of lawlessness and utterly defeat him forever at that time as well, won't he?
Exactly. It's a phenomenal thing when the Lord comes back that Christ defeats Antichrist and sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. I know when you and I think about this, we want to be there in that 1,000-year kingdom, reigning with Christ.
Well, if we don't have this word that you brought in to balance about the mystery of godliness, of course, these things can sound quite terrifying, and they're just too much almost to contemplate at times, it seems. But really, the point in the Lord revealing them to us is really to motivate us to come to him, the one who is the godliness manifested in the flesh, and that we would be even in that same pattern.
Exactly, Chris. I think this whole point is we see the Lord's coming is close at hand. This should motivate us to pursue Christ and experience him to the fullest extent.
Well, let's go on, Ed. We're now at verse 21. For at that time there will be great tribulation, such as has not occurred from the beginning of the world until now, nor shall by any means ever occur. And unless those days had been cut short, no flesh would be saved. But on account of the chosen, those days will be cut short. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
Verse 21, there shall be great tribulation, such as has not occurred from the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall be. This great tribulation is unique. No other one that can compare with it. And this will be under the hand of the Antichrist. Here in Matthew, you must apply this portion of the word to only the last 3.5 years of this age, when Antichrist rises up to persecute the Jews. How do we know great tribulation will be 3.5 years? Because Daniel chapter 9, in Daniel 9, 70 weeks were assigned to the history of Israel. The last week will be the last 7 years of Israel's history in this age. Antichrist will sign an agreement with the Jews. But after half of the 7 years, the first 3.5 of the 7 years, Antichrist will change his mind and turn his back on the Jews and persecute all kind of religion and set up his image in the temple, forcing people to worship. And that is the beginning of the 3.5 years, the great tribulation, the end of this age. The tribulation under the Antichrist will be so severe, no one can bear it. It will be sovereignly cut short by God's mercy.
Well, Ed, we have another very specific phrase used in this portion of Matthew 24, this time the Great Tribulation. There's a lot of talk, especially in these days, and no doubt many different opinions about just what the Great Tribulation refers to. So, Ed, from the Bible itself, especially these two books, Daniel and Revelation, what do we know, at least with a degree of certainty, about the Great Tribulation?
Well, Chris, the specific verse that refers to what happens here is Daniel 9, verse 27. And what that verse shows us is that Antichrist makes a covenant with the nation of Israel for the last 7 years of this age, before the millennial kingdom. He makes a covenant with them, and he allows them to worship God according to their religion and their way. What happens is right in the middle of this last 7 years, after 3.5 years, Antichrist breaks this covenant. And what he does is he sets up his idol in the temple for people to worship him. And this is the beginning of the Great Tribulation. The beginning of the Great Tribulation is when Antichrist sets up that idol in the temple and he forces everyone on the earth to worship him. This will be a terrible time. And like the Lord says in Matthew, this time will be so severe. There's never been tribulation like this on the face of the earth. This time will be so severe that if the Lord didn't cut it short, no flesh would be saved. That means mankind would be totally destroyed. You know, we know that at the end of the tribulation, the Lord will return with his overcoming army to defeat Antichrist and all of his followers. Chris, I would say this. You know, when I was considering this, I was thinking about Revelation 3, verse 10. You know, in Revelation 3, this refers to the overcomers in Philadelphia, in the church in Philadelphia. And he promises them that he will keep them out of the hour of trial. This means these overcomers, they will be taken by the Lord before these 3.5 years begin. We want to be in that category. We want to be kept out of these 3.5 years. In order to do this, according to Revelation 3:10, we have to keep the word of the Lord's endurance. Well, how do we endure? If you look at the letter to this church, it says that the overcomers here, what they do, two things. They keep the Lord's word and they don't deny his name. Chris, every day we need to be faithful to keep the Lord's word and take care of his name. And experientially, you know, we can keep the Lord's word. We have to read the Bible every day, and we even have to pray read the Bible every day. Use the verses in the Bible in your conversing with the Lord. Pray them back to the Lord. This is the way to keep the Lord's word subjectively. And we need to call on the Lord every day. We need to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. The minute we wake up, we should be speaking the Lord's name. Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I open to you. We need to call on his name every day. This will make us endure, and we will be kept out of this terrible hour of trial. We will become the Lord's overcomers.
Well, Ed, let's go on and look at verse 27, which says, "For just as the lightning comes forth from the east and shines to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, just now, you referred to this matter of the overcomers talked about in Revelation chapter 3, the church in Philadelphia, a promise that they will be taken before this period, the Great Tribulation. How does that relate to the coming of the Son of Man, specifically this word coming, which we know in Greek is the word parousia, meaning the Lord's presence?
Right, Chris. And it's important to realize that this Greek word for coming is actually means presence. This is Christ's coming as his presence with his people. And this happens over a period of time. His coming, his parousia, which is also his presence with his people, begins with the rapture of the overcomers. In Revelation 12, you have the rapture of the man-child. This is the stronger part among God's people. These actually, strictly speaking, these are the dead overcomers. Then in Revelation 14, you have the rapture of the first fruit. These are the overcomers who are living and get raptured while they are still living on this earth. So this is when his coming, his presence with his people begins with the rapture of the overcomers. Then he comes from his throne in the third heaven. He comes to the air. The Great Tribulation begins for 1,260 days. At the end of this Great Tribulation, the majority of the believers are raptured to be with Christ in the air, and they appear before the judgment seat of Christ, which at that judgment seat, it determines whether we will be rewarded by the Lord for living an overcoming life, or we will experience some discipline from the Lord for not being faithful to him. Now, Chris, of course, I would just like to say this. Of course, there's a lot of doctrinal points here that require a lot of study. But Chris, one thing we realize, you have the Lord's open coming when he comes from the air with his overcomers to fight against Antichrist. Matthew says that's just like the lightning shining from the east to the west. That's his open coming. But there's also his secret coming, where he comes as a thief he comes to steal the overcomers. The overcomers are so precious to the Lord that as a thief, he comes to take them before the Great Tribulation. You know, when a thief comes to your house, he comes to steal the precious things. Well, the Lord comes as a thief. He wants to take the overcomers. Chris, I think the point of all of this is that we need to pray, Lord, make me an overcoming believer. I want to be so precious in your sight that you would come to steal me from this earth, rapture me before the great tribulation. You know, Chris, it's very meaningful. I've always been touched with this, that Daniel, this is Daniel 10, verse 19. When the angelic messenger appeared to Daniel, he called Daniel a man of preciousness. We need to tell the Lord, Lord, make me someone who is a man of preciousness. How can we become such a man? Well, we need to be filled with the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ephesians 3:8 speaks of these riches. Every day, we need to spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer. We need to spend time to fellowship with other believers, to preach the gospel. All of these means can fill us with Christ's unsearchable riches, and we can become something precious in the Lord's eyes, overcomers, that He will rapture before this terrible period of time, the great tribulation. All the overcoming believers become Christ's bride to enjoy Him and reign with Him for 1,000 years. This is what we are living on this earth for. We want to be prepared and make ourselves ready to be His bride so that we can reign with Him in the millennial kingdom.
So His coming, Ed, is not an instantaneous, just one-time event. It actually has some aspects to it. This secret, hidden aspect where the thief comes, and then this open aspect, like the lightning from the east to the west. But nonetheless, we want to be in that early, secret stealing where He comes really for what is most precious to Him.
Exactly, Chris. And like we said previously in Revelation 3, this is to be kept out of the hour of trial. This is what we want to be, the Lord's overcomers. Even we pray right now, Lord Jesus, make us the overcomers so that we can become your bride for you to come back.
Thank you for your fellowship.
For Ed Marks, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.